Welcome into the program today. The newly elected Speaker of the Massachusetts House of Representatives, State Representative Ron Mariano of Quincy. Ron, so great to see you. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you, Joe. Good to see you. It's been a while.
It's been a while, too long. And hopefully next time we can do it in person later this year.
Yeah, let's hope.
Talk to us a little bit about how you're feeling now as the new Speaker.
Well, it's a lot to take in a very short time. You know, we got the word that he was negotiating to leave with Northeastern. And then very quickly he signed the deal. And so this happened fairly rapidly. But, you know, I had been doing a lot of personal interactions with all the reps for the past 6 years as a majority leader. And I think, you know, the fact that we're in a pandemic and there was a desire for some continuity and some consistency of addressing the pandemic issues, it was very easy to put together the votes to succeed Bob DeLeo and become the Speaker of the House.
Yeah, overwhelming support by your colleagues. How'd that make you feel?
Yeah, it was it was quite a surprise how diverse the support was and how strong it was. I do believe, though, that the pandemic had something to do with that, because people were very reluctant to change direction or try to move in a new direction. Doing things virtually the way we're doing this interview is difficult. Being a state representative, it's a personal relationship business. You have to be able to talk to people, get their ideas, determine their trustfulness and their accuracy of fact. And you can't do it over a Zoom. You don't have that interaction that you need to make quality decisions. And so it's quite difficult to put policy together and put bills together when you're doing it from, in some cases, you know, a couple hundred miles apart.
Can you explain a little bit, Ron, about the actual role of the Speaker? You know, what is the actual role of that position?
Well, it's a pretty powerful position. It sets the agenda along with the governor and the Senate president for the bills that we will be taking up. Certainly it sets the agenda for what comes up in the House. Anything that is debated upon in the House has to go through the Speaker's office, has to be vetted, has to be understood as besides going through the committee process and being heard three times. It then has to be brought to the floor for the last time to be voted on. And so this, just about everything comes through the Speaker's office.
Yeah. For your part, what will be some of your priorities here in the new year for the House?
Well, obviously the pandemic is number one. Getting out from the other side of this is going to be difficult. We are a little bit uncertain as to what our budget deficit is going to be. We still don't know what our federal help is going to be. So it's kind of difficult to put a budget together. We're going to try, based on some revenue estimates that we're going to get from some of the local economists, to see if we can begin to put our budget together. And then obviously anything we get from the feds will be a bonus.
What work is still left to do for the current legislative session?
We're talking today. It's the last day of the session, and there are a couple of conference committee reports still outstanding, one on economic development and one on transportation. We are still overriding some of the governor's vetoes. We have about 15 vetoes to override. And then we have some housekeeping business that we have to do, land takings, and I'll require a roll call vote. So this will be the last time under this session that some of these land takings and some of these home rule petitions can get a roll call. So we'll have to be busy. We'll be busy all day today, probably well into the night, trying to make sure that all the local stuff gets done.
Do you anticipate the House still meeting remotely for the time being?
Yeah, I do, Joe, and that's based on, unfortunately, the numbers that we see across the Commonwealth. The numbers continue to grow. Obviously, we haven't got through the New Year's blip that everyone expects. And talking from a few people that live in the North End, North End was very busy in the New Year's Eve, that all the restaurants were full, that no one was social distancing, and the restaurants were not empty. So you can expect another blip.
Yeah. How do you kind of rate the governor's performance of the pandemic so far, Ron?
I think the governor's been great. I think that he stepped up when he had to. The issues that he addressed, I think, needed to be addressed. He's taken appropriate action when he had to. I think if there's any criticism, it could be around not isolating out the congregate housing immediately. And you know, we saw some repercussions from that. But I think on a whole, you know, he'd never been through a pandemic before either, and neither had anyone in the House. So we were just sort of making this up as we went along, trying to do the best that we could. And I think that about 95% of his actions were right on. I think some of the emergency rules he passed were excellent. As a matter of fact, some of the emergency rules he instituted, we've enacted in the law, especially around telehealth. We saw how well it was working, and it's certainly working exceedingly well with mental illness.
Yeah, I know healthcare has been a passion of yours for a very long time.
Yeah, since 2006, Joe. I can't escape. It's such a challenge. As you know, I get involved for a number of different reasons. One, when Quincy Hospital was struggling, we did everything we could to keep it alive, including getting an $18 million grant that still wasn't enough to sustain it. So it has been a passion of mine and something I'll continue to work on. It's my goal to put community hospitals, which provide the cheapest and best alternative care in gateway cities, and Quincy is a gateway city. Usually the hospitals in a gateway city is the largest employer in the city, one of the biggest taxpayers, payment in lieu of taxes, is a focal point for economic activity. And we need to prop up our hospitals. Not everyone can get to Mass General, and not everyone can get to Brigham and Women's or Milton Hospital and B.I. Leahy. So we need to have low-cost alternatives, and it has to be quality. And they have to be sustainable. And right now, we have price adjustments that insurance companies make based on market share. So community hospitals, because their market share is low, can't get the same price that a teaching hospital can get for their services. So there's a real price adjustment that has to be made. If you have a gallbladder operation in Lowell, the doctor isn't going to get paid the same amount of money as if you had a blood gallbladder operation in Boston. And that is patently unfair. They're both fairly simple procedures, and there really shouldn't be a very big difference between what one is charged in a community hospital and what is one is charged in a teaching hospital. Yeah. So those are the inequities we try to bleed out of the system, and it's a challenge.
Yeah. How do you feel the new incoming Biden administration will be impacting Massachusetts here, Ron, and working with the
Well, we've already seen a little bit of a change in Washington on the amount of money that was in the last COVID bill. We began to see some recognition that states need some help, that cities need some help. And I hope that recognition continues on with the new president, and I'm sure it will. The question becomes, will we have enough to restore some of the programs that we will have to shave some money off of? So
yeah,
that's the challenge. We're beginning to put a budget together based on revenue numbers that are very speculative. So we do the best we can, and if we get some gifts from Washington, will be greatly appreciated.
Yeah, I know there were just recently some small business grants announced. Do you anticipate maybe more of those later this year?
Yeah, we're going to take a look at some things that we hope can support some of our small businesses. Probably as important as that is some job training for people whose jobs probably will not be coming back. There are an awful lot of restaurants that we will not see returning. And that's a lot of people who worked in the back room that are going to be unemployed. And they need to have their skills elevated and may need some help finding jobs. So that's one of the priorities going forward.
Yeah, the local colleges will play a big part in that, of course.
Yeah, community colleges, you know, we have... We're lucky to have an asset right in our backyard in Quincy College. We're going to be working with them and other community colleges to update training. You know, the one thing I learned from this pandemic, and Speaker put me in charge of a recovery committee, is that some of our job training is a bit antiquated. We still teach people how to write resumes and where they had worked in the past, which is not as relevant, as important as it is in this new technological marketplace. What we need to do is focus on what skills a person delivers, what they've done in the skills department. Are they familiar with Zoom? Can they handle a computer? Can they do digital media? And training folks to do that and be proficient in that is probably going to be more productive than our old way of sending people out with resumes to bang on doors for jobs.
What does it mean, Ron, for the city of Quincy to have you as the House Speaker?
That's a good question. Well, obviously, I'm familiar with the issues in Quincy probably more than any other issue in any other area in the state. I deal with those issues. I live with those issues. I live in the city that depends on good, solid, dependable red line service. I know that's important. I certainly know the importance of our road repair and construction and the changes that are going through Quincy now with the new roads and trying to make traffic more efficient is an issue I understand. And I've talked to the mayor a number of times about his plans for downtown, and I aim to help when I can. We've been helpful in getting the money for some of the roads, some of the reconfigurations in front of the First Parish Church. We have a very good delegation. We work together, Bruce Ayers and Tacky Chan and myself. Between the three of us, I think we have a handle on most of the problems that need fixing in the city that the state has an impact on. So it's important, and they both have my ear. You know, Tacky is the chairman, and Bruce is on the tourism committee, vice chair of the tourism committee. So we have a pretty good handle on what the city needs.
Yeah. Do you anticipate, doing more traveling across the state now as representing the whole House?
Yeah, unfortunately, I think that's part of the job. the needs in Western Mass are so significantly different than in the city of Boston that you need to see it to believe it. We have reps that if they're in their living room, they have no cell phone service. They have no internet connection. There is a real deficiency in some of the high-tech products, services that these folks need, and they can't access. So those are all things that we will work on incrementally to increase and make sure that, you know, that the new trend now is people want to work from home. If you live out in Western Mass, if you live in Northampton, you know, you have no computer access, you have no internet access. So you're not going to work from home. You're going to get in your car and have to drive hours to get to your job site. And, you know, we just did a climate change bill yesterday, which we think is going to make some improvements, but we want to get people, if it's at all possible, to work from home. One of the benefits of the pandemic is we see that people can be productive working from home. And we want to continue that as much as we can. And hopefully, with some of the changes we made in emission standards and taking some cars off the road and allowing more people to work from home, we reduce our carbon footprint significantly.
What's the process, Ron, now for filling Speaker DeLeo's seat? How does that work?
We will probably call a special election. There are time markers on the continuum for having a special. I think we have to call it within a couple of weeks, and then there's 19 days or something to get papers out, and then 30 days to get signatures in. And so we will get right on that when we begin the new session.
How would you say your relationship with Senate President Spilka is?
Well, it's new. It's new. I'm brand new to this job. We hadn't interacted much prior to this. I think I was on one conference committee with it. I'm sitting across from her. I don't anticipate a problem. We've had a number of conversations so far, and we're working on closing out this session and getting some things done. So far it's been productive. We'll see. We still have a long day today, but we'll see what happens.
Sure.
We really have only two conference committees outstanding. We have economic development and we have a transportation. And that would wrap up the conference committees. We've already done the healthcare one and we did the climate yesterday. So.
Yeah, and of course the police reform bill, I know something you're proud of too.
Yeah, I think the police reform bill, as much as it was criticized, I think is a great step to restore some confidence in police officers all over the state. It isn't aimed at any one particular police department or any one policeman. This is to sort of get a handle on some of the things we've seen across the country and in our state, unfortunately.
Anything else you'd like to share right now, Ron? I know you have a busy day, so I don't want to keep you too long.
Well, no, this is all in all, I just think that it's a very exciting time for me, obviously. I never got into this job thinking that I was going to be here in the position I'm in today. It was never a particular goal of mine. It's sort of, I love the job. I love solving problems. I love tackling complex issues and trying to find a pathway through them. And now all of a sudden I find myself determining what issues we're going to solve. So it's a bit of a change, but I look forward to it.
That's great. Well, we look forward to chatting with you and your new role, hopefully.
Anytime, Joe.
In person.
I know, you and I have been together a long time. We won't tell people how long.
No, we both started when we were 10 years old, right?
Yeah, that's right. That's right. It'll be our secret.
Thanks again, Ron.
Good to see you, Joe.
You too. Be well.
You too.